Galatians chapter 4, and find that there. Galatians chapter 4, and then just stick your ribbon or a piece of paper or a bookmark or something in Hebrews 13. We're not going to go there first, but we're going to be there a little bit, and it'll save us some time rather than looking for it. And I'm going to do the same thing that I'm telling you to do right now. If I don't, I'll be looking for it while you are waiting on me, and I don't want that to happen. Hebrews chapter 13 for later, Galatians chapter 4 for a couple of verses here as we get into the message. If you found it, Galatians 4 is what we're going to be reading. Let's stand together in honor of God's word if you're able to. If you're not, that's fine. Just be seated. But I'm going to read verses 19 and 20 in chapter 4. Paul's writing, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to, listen to this, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you." I want to speak this morning on the subject, a minister's calling. And no, this is not a message to pastors or ministers. It is a message for our church. But I want to speak on a minister's calling. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to be in church where we ought to be on Sunday morning. Thank you for the health, the ability to be here. And God, would you please come now, your Holy Spirit, come and fill us, both speaker and listener. This is your word. You magnified your word above all your name. And your spirit will work in tandem with your word to help us if we'll let it. And so, God, help us to open our hearts and minds now to you, to your book for a few moments, and help us. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Have you ever been stumped in your opinion of someone? Maybe you were in a conversation with someone and the name of a certain person came up and you said, I'm not sure what to think about him. I'm not sure what to think about her. You're not being critical. You're just unsure of your opinion about that particular person. That's often true about political candidates. How many times do we go to the voting booth and are unsure about the people on the ballot, all right? And we will have the Family Institute voter guides for you here in just a little while as we get ready for these midterm elections the 1st of November. Now, the truth is, Paul did not know what to think about some of the Christians in the country of Galatia. So that's why he said, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. I don't know what to think. You know, Paul had been instrumental in founding most of the churches that they attended. This is not written to one church. This is written to a group of churches in the country of Galatia. And it was probably on the scene when a lot of them got saved. And he was deeply concerned about, that they did not return to the rituals of the Old Testament law to complete or make perfect their salvation. They had trusted Christ as Savior, and their salvation was complete in Jesus Christ. Complete, okay. Now, but the devil, as he does now, he sends his ambassadors around to wreak havoc in the growth and the development of these believers there in the church at Galatia, the churches of Galatia. And Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he sat down and wrote. And what that means, folks, is this was not Paul's, just his opinion. He's writing this as he's moved by God. He sat down, he wrote a letter to express his concern. And in his comments here, in his statement, I see a minister's calling. I see a minister's heart. On more than one time in the New Testament, Paul said this. Paul said, I am made a minister. Minister is the word servant. Minister is a synonym almost with the name pastor. And Paul said, God has made me a minister. More than one time. He said it several times, in fact. I am made a minister. You can find that all over and over again in his letters. And here we see a minister's calling, some characteristics of a minister's calling. Now, I want you to see, first of all, today, Paul's ministerial compassion. Look at verse number 19. My little children. Is he writing to just kids? No. He's writing to people of all ages. But I want you to notice that he puts in the adjective little. My little children. What in the world? If he's writing to adult men, he's writing to adult women, why is he calling them little children? You know, there's something endearing about little children. Manly men turn into jesters in the presence of their grandchildren. I saw that last week. I left the church out of the church building, was walking to the vehicle, and there was a man, good brother, he's here this morning, and standing there, and his grandchild was being held by his child, and he was, and that's what we all do. You know, we all our faces and our noises and our lips and our fingers and we do that around what? Little children. That's normal. I have a blast around my grandchildren. I like to make animal noises. It's a pretty good monkey, isn't it? I think it's a pretty good monkey. I say, why would you do that? Because I wanted to this morning. Make it sound like a chicken. When I go to teenage Bible class, I don't walk in and start going, ooh. Although really, some of them in there. No, I'm just teasing. Amen. So... Why do we do? Why are we uninhibited when it comes to little children? We lose ourselves because there's something endearing. All of that, you see a man to his grandchild, you think, that's normal. Maybe not for some of you. Some of you need to get a life. You walk through, you reach your grandchild like, hello, son, how are you? You know. So, Paul had that kind of relationship with those believers. He called them little children. Why? His heart was endeared to them. You know, again, many of them maybe had been saved under his ministry or had come under his influence, and that created a special relationship with them in his heart. Now, that is something that God does in the heart of a man who's been called, who's been made a minister. Does that make sense? Who's been called to be a pastor to God's people. Paul wrote the church members in Thessalonica a letter. And he said in chapter 2, verse 8, don't do it, I'm quoting it to you, got it right here. Talking to them, so being, listen, affectionately desirous of you. Are those not terms of endearment? Affectionately desirous of you. We were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. You know, Paul said, you know, we didn't just preach to you from a sense of duty or a sense of obligation. We didn't go into Thessalonica, okay, all you folks, listen up. You know, I really don't care for any of you, but you need the gospel, and I don't want you to go to hell for all eternity. So listen up, whether you like it or not. That's not how he did it. He didn't have that approach. Paul said, we didn't come to you that man. That's not at all like it was. Paul said, I did preach to you. I did give you the gospel. I don't want you to go to hell for all eternity. But it was not just out of obligation. It was with all my soul. You were in my thoughts. You were in my heart. My heart was moved for you. Why? Because you're dear to me. God puts that kind of love, he puts that kind of compassion, he puts that kind of closeness in the heart of a man who has been made a minister. God does that. Who's been called to shepherd his people. You know, God has given me a ministry that reaches beyond Bourbonnais, reaches beyond Illinois. I never asked for any of that. I've never asked a pastor or a missionary, can I come preach in your church? Never. Before God's my witness. I'm not made that way. I'm not going to go out of my way. But with the things that are going on here at Faith Baptist and our own church, with things that go on at the college, with things that go on beyond Illinois and beyond Bourbonnais, and with family obligations, you know what, folks? I struggle for time to spend one-on-one with the people of our church. I didn't get to go on the camp out because my father-in-law is 90 years of age. He's not going to live forever. And this was the only Thursday, Friday. I told Rick this last week. And it's the only Thursday, Friday in almost the entire fall, months of September, October, and November, that Joyce and I could, because of things sometimes that are going on here that, you know, are happening. We took advantage of the opportunity. I preached at the camp Thursday morning, and we took off for Iowa. We spent Thursday afternoon and most of Friday with her dad and Marilyn. And I'm glad we did. He's slowing down. He's 90. But I will tell you this. God has put a love in my heart for you. I don't lay awake thinking about the spiritual condition of people in other churches. I don't lie in bed praying for the burdens of people in other churches. Now, I've been praying a lot for Pastor Jerry Ross, Pastor Jeff Hawkins, both these men with cancer. I don't go to bed on Sunday night with a heavy heart about people in other churches, but I do all of those things for you. All of them. Probably I could start in this corner and go through every pew in this room. And at some point in time, in the last, whatever, 6 months, 10 months, a year, I have lain awake at night, if that's even a word, been awake at night thinking about some of you, praying for your burdens, thinking about your spiritual. I do lay awake thinking about the spiritual condition of the people in this room. I do lie in bed and pray for your burdens. I do go to bed on Sunday night sometimes with such a heavy heart. You can ask my wife. I toss and I toss and I toss and I toss. And I feel like I failed on that Sunday to get the truth across, or I wasn't full enough of God's power to help you spiritually on that particular Sunday. And the reason I do that, folks, is because that is what God puts in the heart of a man that he makes a minister. Paul talked about this. He talked about all the physical difficulties that God put him through in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And then he said, on top of all of that, the care of all the churches. He's not talking about the buildings. I don't lay awake at night thinking about the building. But you lay awake at night thinking about people. Yeah. 11:30, toss and turn. 12:15, toss and turn. 1:30, toss and turn. 2 o'clock. That happens. And that's what's going on here with the Apostle Paul. God made him a minister. And because of that, there was a minister's compassion for these people. My guess is Paul was probably losing sleep thinking about these people. It's part of a minister's compassion. The second thing I want you to see here in this passage is Paul's ministerial concern. And you see that. I pointed it out just a moment ago in verse number 20. Paul's desire was to be with these people personally. He wanted to put his eyes on them. He wanted to hear them talk. He wanted to watch their facial expressions, to observe their countenances. Why? Why did Paul desire to be present with them? That's what the Bible says. Why did he long to be with them? Because based on what he had heard about what was going on in their churches, he had his doubts about how some of them were doing spiritually. I really want to see you. Because I can't make an honest judgment without looking into your eyes and seeing your countenance and listening to you talk and seeing what excites you. And I'm concerned. I stand in doubt. Maybe he had expressed his concern publicly. You know, he wasn't by himself on these missionary journeys. He was with other men. Maybe he had said to some of those men, maybe he had said, "Hey, Timothy, you know what? I am really concerned about those folks at such and such church there in Galatia. What I am hearing causes me great concern about how they are doing spiritually." He said he hoped to change his voice. Do you see that? And to change my voice. Possibly he was referring to what he was writing to them about in this letter. You know, "I'd really like to come and see you. I hope the things that I'm writing about aren't really that necessary, that bad." Maybe that's what he's doing. You know, Paul would rather be saying, "Hey, Timothy, what I hear about the folks at such and such church in Galatia really blesses my heart and encourages me. They are fired up." Maybe that's what he'd love to say. People, as your minister, as your pastor, as your shepherd, whatever title you want to put on me, I understand what Paul is expressing in this verse. I get it. Based on what I hear, based on what I see, based on facial expressions, countenances, eye contact, other things, I get really concerned about some of our members, some of our people here at Faith Baptist. I don't search the internet. I don't have Facebook. I don't have Instagram. I'm not saying, I'm not condemning it across the board. I don't have Twitter. I'm not on any social media. When I was born and grew up, it was just ahead of all that. I do have staff members who are on social media. And they know if they run across something concerning one of our members that really concerns them, they're supposed to let me know. They are not to play detective. They don't enter names and click, and you're foolish to do that. They don't go looking for things. But folks, if you put it out there for all the world to know, then it's public. And you have no right to be upset that someone on staff here reads or sees something that you put on the World Wide Web. "Well, I really didn't want anybody to know about that at church." Excuse me? The World Wide Web? I don't have detectives on staff. That's not what we do. We're not a bunch of Barney Fifes with one bullet in our left pocket. running around with a magnifying glass looking to find what's going on in people's lives. But I will say, I do have some doubts about the condition of some of you spiritually. And it's not just from social media. It's simply from a lack of commitment to spiritual, to things spiritual. And maybe you think that your spiritual condition is none of my business. You could not be further from the truth about what God expects of me. That's why I have you in Hebrews. Hold your finger here in Galatians. We're coming back. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 7, okay? Now, I want you to notice the wording here. Some of you know this already, but that doesn't hurt to go over it. Look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Now, stop right just that. That's all we read. Who's that talking about? Who has the rule over them? Well, look at what it says. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Well, who speaks unto you the word of God here? Pastor does. Okay, he preaches. Now drop down to verse number 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Now watch this. For they watch for your souls. Do you see that word watch? Look it up. It means keep awake. Ten forty-five, 11:30, 12:15, 2 o'clock, no sleep. Well, it's just because, you know, you teach at the college and you travel and you preach here. And yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, but some of it is. Yeah. It's called ministerial concern. It's kind of what God expects out of a pastor. Listen, for a minister not to have any concern about the spiritual welfare of the people under his watch is not biblical. Well, you know, I want a church where the pastor just kind of preaches to me, but he stays out of my business. If he's a Bible preacher, forget it. That's not happening. Doesn't mean I'm going to come to your house, knock on your door and say, buddy, you're all wrong. But it does mean I'm going to flip and flop and flip and flop at 1:30 in the morning concerned about your spiritual condition. I'm going to keep awake for your soul. That's a ministerial concern. You know, here's the thing. People can be real good at humanitarian things inside a church, but not spiritual things. You know what's humanitarian? Coats and hats and gloves. Food. That's humanitarian. You know what's spiritual? The gospel. Encouragement in the Lord. Prayer. Word of God. Look, I've said this before. It's been a while since I've said it. I enjoy seeing you prosper materially. Never in 32 plus years have I despised any person in this church when God has allowed you to prosper with a better house, a newer vehicle, a raise in pay, a promotion in your field of work. But it is far more important to me to see you prosper spiritually. Amen. Spiritually. And that's common with pastors. That's what John said to Gaius in 3 John, the little book right before Jude. He said, basically paraphrasing, Gaius, my prayer is that you are prospering spiritually as much as you are materially. So don't single me out and say you're involving yourself in things that are none of your business. I'm sorry, but I was made a minister, and being made a minister, I have a biblical mandate to watch for your souls. To keep awake. To see how you're doing spiritually. It is my bit, not to the point again of knocking on your door, But I'm going to tell you, you know what concerns me? Lack of interest in the work of God. Lack of response to the preached word of God. Lack of commitment to the church of God. Lack of fellowship with the people of God. Lack of involvement to the commission of God. Lack of appetite for the things of God. You know what happens to dads and moms? If they have a teenager at home and they notice a lack of interest in the family on the part of that teenager, they notice a lack of response to dad and mom in that relationship, they notice a lack of commitment to the welfare of the family, a lack of desire to be with the family, a lack of involvement in the concerns of the family. Is that of no concern to that dad and mom? You better believe it is. And I had a child go through 4 months of that. It ate our lunch. It ate our lunch. Because there's something wrong with a teenager who has no desire to be a part of the family, to have a relationship with dad and mom. He don't care about the welfare of the family. No desire to do things with them. No involvement in the concerns of the family. That's a concern to dad and mom. Welcome to my world as a minister. Welcome to my world as a minister. That's what happened. That's a minister's call. I'm not up here today, folks, saying, oh, woe is me. It's an awful thing to be a minister. No, I am thankful that God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I'm just sharing with you what God does to a man's heart when God gives him a call to be, when God makes him a minister. There's a compassion. There's a concern. People sleep through church. I get concerned. Terribly concerned. Concern. Paul's ministerial compassion. His ministerial concern. He said, you know what? Let's go back to Galatians now. Back to Galatians 4. He said, I really want to come be with you. I really need to see you. And I really want to change my opinion because, man, I've really expressed some things, maybe to Timothy and Titus, some of these other men. I really expressed some things to them about you that I hope I can change my voice. I hope I can change my opinion because I'm concerned. So you see his ministerial compassion. You see his ministerial concern. Now I want you to see number three and lastly today, Paul's ministerial considerations. Ministerial considerations. Look again at verse number 19. My little children of whom I travail in birth again. Now Paul's consideration for his people there in Galatia was twofold. He longed to see people saved by the power of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And through the power of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, people can be born again. And that would be great for some of you to experience. Being born again. It's my desire. It's my heart to preach and to work so that people will trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. To see people turn from faith in a church, from faith in baptism, or faith in some dead work. Faith to trusting faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone for salvation. Have you been saved? You know, people, Jesus Christ will receive you. He'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you an eternal home in heaven. If you'll come to Him, turning from all that you've been trusting in and trusting in Him only. And Him only to save you. And here's the thing, folks. You have no idea when your time on earth is up. For the older members of Faith Baptist Church, Guileen Rigney is a familiar name. She was here when I came. She taught in the school for a year, I think. She moved over to Dwight and attended First Baptist, and then she wanted to go to college and get a class on teaching, so she moved up to Northwest, and that's where she stayed. And I was sitting out in the congregation in this side of the auditorium over here, like where Brother... my family is sitting, and Brother Payne, and Guileen was in the choir right here. Monday night, singing. I didn't get a chance to speak to her, but I saw her. That was Monday night. Tuesday morning, she was singing in heaven. Didn't feel good Tuesday morning when she got up, but she wanted to watch the service. She wanted to get the services of the conference. So she live streamed it and was sitting there with her Bible on a little stand, Bible on the screen right here and watching. And her daughter was watching on her laptop in her bedroom, I think. Sasha, y'all remember Sasha and Katie? Little girls here. And say they had a break in the service, and Sasha came out just to see, you know, just came out of her room just to see Mom, and on the floor, she's gone. Gone. Pew. Taken. She was ready. Prepared. Saved. Born again. A member of God's family. Folks, do you know that when you depart from this world, you will arrive in heaven? Do you know that? Paul longed to see people saved so they could have eternal life in heaven. But he also longed to see people change in life on earth. Because that's what happens to born-again people. They change. Look at what he said in verse number 19. He said, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. Paul wasn't saying, oh, he longed to see people get saved, but that didn't satisfy him. He longed to see those saved people become Christ-like. He wanted them to grow. He wanted them to be obedient children of God. Paul longed to see Christ formed in them. Amen. And I long to see Christ formed in you. Amen. Good. Hey. Sometimes my tossing and turning is because I'm wondering, God, is that man, is that woman, is that young person, are they born again? Right. Are they saved? And sometimes my tossing and turning is, Lord, why is there no fruit? Why is there no growth? I don't lay in bed angry. It's a heaviness. It's just, I've been made a minister. I'm no Paul, but I've been made a minister. And this was his ministerial consideration. I want you to get saved, number one. But more than that, after that, I want Christ to be formed in you. And this more than what a pastor wants. It's what God wants for his people when they get saved by his grace. He wants to see the likeness of Christ in us. What are some of the likenesses of Christ? Well, he loves his Father. He loves his Father. Do you love God? He loves his Father. He loves his people. You love the people at church? Amen. Do you see more of the good than the bad? Good. Do you love the people of God? Jesus loves fellowship with his people. Fellowship with his people. I'll tell you something. That's one thing that the apostles continued in. Amen. In Acts chapter 2. You say, what does that mean? I'll tell you exactly what it means. It means that when the amen was said, they didn't bust out of the cows. The last amen. It means they'd like to talk to people and hang around. And when there's a church dinner, yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to be a part. He loves fellowship with his people. He loves righteousness and he hates sin. He loves righteousness and he hates sin. What are the characteristics of Christ? He loves those who have not received him yet. This sorry crowd, bless God, they're as sorry and wicked and as evil, yeah, as you and I were before we got saved. They just don't have Christ. He's full of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. He has power and he has wisdom. God longs to see Christ formed in us. And there are some here who have several of the characteristics of Christ. There are some here who have a few of the characteristics of Christ. And there are some, I'm sorry, I'm kind of be transparent, I stand in doubt of you. I stand in doubt. I would like to change my voice. I'd like to change my opinion. But there needs to be some evidence of the characteristics of Christ being formed in you. And by the way, that doesn't mean that I love you any less. The fact that Paul stood in doubt about these people did not change his love for them. If I have my doubts about your spiritual condition, it doesn't change my love for you. In fact, you're probably one of those occupying my thoughts at 1 o'clock in the morning. You're probably one of those that I'm tossing and turning. And to be honest with you, to show you that I'm not the most spiritual dude in the world, sometimes it's irritating to me and it's like, Lord, I really want to go to sleep. And I'm sure it's irritating to my wife. Flop, flop, a guy as big as I am, flop, flop, doesn't roll over in bed quietly. Most men are oafs. I'm literally staying awake pondering how you are doing. That's ministerial consideration. I'm sorry. Pastor, you know, don't spend your time worrying about me. Because, no, I'm sorry. It's what God does to a minister's heart. Now, I want to show you one more thing in Hebrews 13. Turn back over there. We're done. Hebrews 13. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 17 one more time here. Because I want you to see this from the Scripture, okay? Not just what I'm saying. Look at what he says again in verse 17. They watch for your souls. Oh boy. As they that must give account. You see that? Might give account. Maybe we'll give an account. Is that what your Bible says? What does it say? Kind of sounds definitive. Look, folks, I'm not sure. Sometimes I ponder how all this happens. Does that happen on earth? Does it happen in heaven? How do I give an account? I don't have all the answers to that. But I want you to see what it says. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable. What? Oh, so who's the loser? Brother Bragg is not just my school administrator, my assistant, one of my assistant pastors. Brother Bragg is a member of Faith Baptist Church. I will someday give an account for his spiritual condition. Now, if I have to do it with joy, guess who wins? Lord, he was faithful. There are evidences of Christ's life in him, Christ's likeness. I don't think he came to the services and came to the things at the church because he had to. He's on staff. Lord, I think his heart belonged to you, and he loved it, and he loved serving you. And Lord, this man was faithful, and faithful to his wife, faithful to his kids, faithful to his brothers and sisters. And he did a great job. But if I have to give an account of him with grief, well, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't know. Just never clicked. That's unprofitable for. Y'all with me? Okay, have a seat. Thank you, brother. I saw a brother recently, Christian brother, and I knew his family. So how's the family doing? He started talking about an adult child in a distant place. And he said, my child is doing great financially, but terrible spiritually. And when he said that, he didn't say it. Oh, yeah, my child's doing great financially. He is rotten spiritually. No. He said, my child's doing great financially, but horribly spiritually. And when he said it, It was with grief. Wouldn't you think so? It was grief. And you know who's the loser? The boy. Because if he doesn't get it fixed on this side of heaven, it's going to be tough at the judgment seat. It's going to be tough. I don't want you to prosper spiritually for my own gain. Oh, God, this guy, this lady, this teenager, this family. Oh, they were under my preaching. They were under my leadership. And boy, they did great. No. It's not about my gain. It's about yours. About yours. It would be much more enjoyable to give an account for you with joy. Amen. Because that means it's your gain. It's your gain. So I've opened the door this morning, let you look into a minister's calling. Because Paul said, I am made a minister. I didn't ask for all this. God called me to it, and He put this on me. And after making me a minister, He gave me a minister's compassion, a minister's concern, and a minister's consideration. I am not the best or even good at all three of those. But what I preach to you this morning is what is in here. I hope you know that. And I hope you know it's for your good. It's for your good. For some, your eternal good, if you just get saved. And if you're saved, that Christ will be formed in you. I see it. I see it. I hear it. I see it. Christ-likeness. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And thank you for listening this morning. Give me your attention. I just wonder today, you know, the Spirit of God kind of moves around and comes by people and pews and places where people are sitting, and somebody that's been prayed up and came to church expecting something and hoping for something. The Spirit of God usually comes through with something from the music and the fellowship and the singing. So I wonder today, Pastor Angel, you might say, something in the message this morning, God's Spirit arrested my heart, pierced my heart, and I get it. And I there are a lot of things or some things that need to get better. I need to become more like Christ, because that'll be profitable someday for me. And I get it. I get it. Did God speak to you this morning specifically? Would you acknowledge that just by simply raising your hand, saying, Pastor, that's me. God spoke to my heart this morning. I see your hands. God bless you. Amen. 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 Then I ask this question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you turned in faith, believing that Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection is enough to pay your debt of sin? Have you done? Do you know that you know that you know you're going to heaven someday when you leave this world? If you leave like that lady did this week, or if you leave after a lengthy illness, you know you're going to heaven. If you know that, could I see your hand just as a testimony to God this morning? Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there somebody here? Pastor, I could not raise my hand. I don't know that. I don't know that. Pray for me. Could I see your hand this morning? I don't know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven, that I'm saved. Don't know that for sure. Don't know if I'd leave this world, I'll wake up in heaven over here. All right. God bless you. Is there another one? Not sure that I'm saved. If you're not sure that you're saved, listen, now's the time. Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. You're in church. I've talked about it. Now's the time for somebody to show you from the Bible how to be saved. If you raise your hand just now and you meant that, nobody's looking. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just look at me real fast here. If you raised your hand just now, you're not sure that you're saved. You need to make that certain this morning, sir. You're wiping tears. God's speaking to your heart. come. Why don't you come right now and let somebody talk to you about it right here. Dan, right down here. Somebody else, would you come back here? Would you come this morning and let somebody show you how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? We have a lady talk to you about Christ. Well, you'll do that in just a moment. That's right. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be judgmental, folks. I'm just letting you look into a minister's heart. Compassion, concern, and consideration. If you don't want that kind of pastor, I don't know what to tell you, because that's a biblical man of God. Some of you just need to hit the altar this morning and say, God, I need to get going here. I'm treading water spiritually. There's no Christ-likeness formed in me. And I'm saved, and I have hindered the work of God's Spirit in my life. I'm not asking you to do it because I'm staying awake at night thinking. I'm asking you to do it because God's worthy of it. God's worthy. Let God work in your heart this morning. Would there be a real move of God amongst His people this morning? Could there be? There could be if we let it happen. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The pianist begins to play. If you came to be baptized this morning, now's the time to come. Respond. Respond in humility and sincerity. It's time for me to get on track spiritually, get moving. Would you come this morning? While we wait, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I flop around in bed. Lord, how come? How come? What is going on? Why is there a lack of response? Why only one service a week? Why is there no hunger for God? Why is there no work of God? Why is that person, this seems like there's nothing happening spiritually. Oh, humanitarian? Yeah, but spiritually? It just doesn't seem like it's happening. That's ministerial concern. That's ministerial consideration. That's ministerial compassion. Can't help it. Can't help it. You obey the Lord this morning. You do what God tells you to do in obedience to His Word, His Spirit working in your heart this morning while we wait. Some are being talked to about the Scriptures.